You know where we're going, right? 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to continue our sermon series on desiring God, specifically this portion, our heart to serve. This is the last, this is the last Sunday on having a heart to serve. And make no mistake, you know, these messages have been very pointed. The purpose is to have our membership have the heart to get involved in the Lord's work. Have the heart to actually get out of the pew, teach classes, work with kids, work with adults, minister to people. That we actually have the heart to do in the Lord's work. So today, the title of the message is The Faithful Servant. And I would ask you to please stand. Once again, don't want you to get too comfortable yet. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again we bow before you, asking for your guidance as we look into your word this morning. Lord, speak to us. Teach us your ways. Grow us in your work. And I pray your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. The faithful servant. Have you ever heard someone make a comment, whether it's business meeting or at some other time, concerning money in the Lord's church, and they say, you know, it's the Lord's money, and we're required to be faithful stewards of the Lord's money. Have you ever heard that? I've heard it several times. I've probably even said it a time or two. But today, and there's nothing wrong with that statement, it's very true. Today, I just want to expand your mind a little bit. You see, we're not only faithful servants of the Lord's money, we're to be faithful stewards of the manifold grace of God. And God has given you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and y'all up there, everyone present today, God has given you a gift, of which He expects you to be a faithful steward of that gift. Amen? Let's pursue it. How do we do that? How are we to be, or how can we be, a faithful steward? Well, number one, we maintain the love. If you'll notice in verse 8, Peter said, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another." When you see that phrase, above all, you know what that means? That this is the most important part. If you're going to be a servant, this is what you absolutely must have. And what is that? It's fervent love. A love that's marked by care and persistent effort day in and day out. Now, why does he bring this? Why does he say this? And I'll tell you. It's because we sometimes can get so busy serving that we can forget to love. And when we forget to love, we're on dangerous ground. I mean, I've been guilty of it through the years. Get so busy going, doing, preaching, and serving that you forget the why. Why am I serving? So today, I want us to do something different. Do you like different? It doesn't matter. We're going to do it anyway. Right? I know we all have a gift. This is where you say amen. Okay? God wants to use you. That's where you say amen. But right now, I want you to set aside that gift. Okay? If you're a teacher, for this moment, you're not a teacher. If you're a deacon, for this moment, you're not a deacon. Whatever job and gift that God has given you, I just ask you for this second to lay it aside and answer this question. Why am I serving? It cannot be because you love what you do. It cannot be because somebody suggested that you might be good at what you do. As long as you serve from that perspective, you're going to get to the point where you get tired and quit. How often have you seen those serving just quit? And you wonder, what happened? I can tell you. They lost the first part of this. They forgot to fervently love. And that's why I say, so today, with me, we're going to lay aside at this moment our gift, and we're going to stop and realize why we do what we do. And it is because we love. You know, Jesus said the greatest commandment, number one, you'll love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And number two, you'll love who? Your neighbor as yourself. Loving God and loving people. That's where you have to start. That's why you have to serve. And that's where you have to finish. Otherwise, as I said, you'll get tired and you'll quit. Otherwise, while you're serving, somebody will hurt your feelings and you'll become bitter and quit. I want to be that servant. That's like Paul who said, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. You know, isn't that what we're all supposed to be? Why is love so important? Okay, here's why love is so important. You ready? Verse 8, the last half. For love will cover a multitude of sins. You know what that word cover means? It means to hide. And the thought is this. When you are focused on loving, you will not focus on the flaws of the people that you're loving. Have you ever looked at a husband and a wife and you look at that lady and you think, man, how could she be married to that? You might think it about Beth. I don't know. I can answer that question. She loves him. He loves her. You know, when my children were still at home and they were growing up, they didn't always do what they were supposed to. As a matter of fact, sometimes they would make Dad very, very angry. And you know why I never quit being their dad? Because I loved them. And as long as you're looking through the eyes of love, love will overpower the sin or the flaw. You see, and that's what happens to people as they serve the Lord, you know, and you see them fall by the wayside and quit. Here's how can you teach people? How can you be a Sunday school teacher and study and study and study all week and come into the class and half the class has just decided not to show up that Sunday? How do you come back and teach the next Sunday? There's only one answer. It's because you love those people. How can you deal with teenagers week in and week out and week in? And I'm not talking bad about our teens. You know, you're just teens. You can't help it, right? We love you anyway. I'm kidding. The way you can is that you love them. You don't focus on what they're not doing. You focus on what you are aiming toward them, and that's the love. Otherwise, my friends, you're not going to make it. You will never, you know, you'll last a while. And I've known preachers who just really love to preach. And don't get me wrong, I love to preach. But if I forget to love, my love to preach fails. You know? And it's that way with using any gift you have. And that's why I ask you today, okay, let's lay aside what we do and let's focus upon the reason that we do it. The reason that we do it is because we love one another. And Jesus said, by this they shall know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So I want you to do me a favor. I want, in this section, I want you to tell these people over here, I love you. Well, they're not very fervent about it, but at least they said it. This section here, I want you to tell them that you love them. There you go. This section here, I want you to tell them, I love you. Now, everybody on the bottom, we're going to tell the folks in the balcony all together, I love you. Now, the folks in the balcony, tell the folks back down here. Amen. There you go. It's not hard. You just have to think about it a little bit. And that's what Peter's saying. You've got to get this first. If you do not get this first, the rest of it will not matter. Because you won't be a faithful servant. Got to love. Second thing we've got to do, we've got to minister our gift. Not to skip over verse 9, but verse 9 is kind of self-explanatory. I'll just remind you what it says. It says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. You know what that means, right? We don't believe in grumbling. Amen? Come on. Okay, so we're not going to spend a lot of time there. We're going to go to verse 10. And as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Minister your gift. Now, I want everybody in here listening. You are gifted by God. God has given you a gift. And the purpose of the gift that God has given you is to edify the church. Turn with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. The church of Corinth at this point was having a little problem. Everybody had a gift and everybody wanted to serve all at the same time. Okay? Paul says he has to correct them. In verse 26 it says, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. You know what edification is? It means to build up the church. The idea here is that Victory Missionary Baptist Church is going to be a better church because you are here. Isn't that cool? Isn't that awesome? That Victory is a better church because of the gift that God has given you and He has placed you here. And understand, the gift that you have is vital to the growth and the well-being of this church. Romans chapter 12, verse 5. Let's go over there. Romans 12 and verse 5. So we, being many, are members in one body. I want to stop right there just a minute so that we get a full understanding of what this means. We are the body of Christ. But a body has many members. These folks over here, they may be hands. These folks over here may be legs and feet. These folks over here may be the head. And we all have a different gift, which makes us a different part of the body. But every gift is vital. I love this hand of mine. I do not want to do without this hand of mine. Have you ever seen any, and I'm sure you have, have you ever seen anybody that had a stroke? And they lose function in one of the limbs? How sad it is, how they have to struggle, and you know, if they lose function in this right side, this left hand has to take over and do the work that this right side normally would take over. That's what Paul's saying here. He's saying we each have a gift. And these gifts that God has given us is intended to fit nicely together so that we can function as a body. Look at, let's continue reading. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. You know what that means? You belong to me. And I belong to who? You. And we all belong to Jesus Christ, the head. You see, here's where you begin to understand the idea of what church is all about. And you get away from this mentality of, you know, the church is here to serve me. No, you're here to serve in the church. God has given you this wonderful gift. It may be singing, it may be teaching, it may be that you're an encourager. But whatever it is, God has given you this gift and put you in the body so that you can use this marvelous gift that God has given. You see, if you do not use this gift, you're like that hand that's no longer used because of a stroke. Somebody else has to take your place. And it's probably going to be someone else that should be doing something else. But they've got to do not only their job, they've got to do yours too, because you're not functioning in a healthy body. You know, the body is an awesome thing. Is it not? Isn't it amazing what the complexity, yet the simplicity of the human body? And it's wonderful until something does not work. And then it gets hard. It gets very, very hard. And I'll tell you one more thing. Actually, I want to tell you several more things, but one more thing along these lines, right? Just because you're not gifted in a particular area does not mean that you should not help in that area. I want to say that again. Just because you're not gifted in a particular area does not mean that you should not help in that area. Now listen. There are people, I know, there are people who have no business trying to teach. It's just not their gift. I get that, right? But it does not mean you should not participate in a Sunday school class. There are people whose gift, who are not gifted in dealing with young people. But it does not mean that you should not help Brother Josh deal with young people on occasion. There are people who are not gifted in nursery, but it doesn't mean that you don't help in nursery. There are people, you know, vacation Bible school. You may not, you know, you may think, well, you know, I'm too old for vacation Bible school. No, you're not. You're just asking for help once a year. Don't ever say, that's not my thing. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, you know, that's really not my thing. Don't ever say that. It may not be your thing. But you know, I may need a hand that helps me do my thing. Does that make sense? Because there are times that I can't do my thing all by myself. Oh, I can use my gift and I may be able to lead out in ministry, but there are times that I need extra hands. Did you know that there is a spiritual gift called helps? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. Got to go there. 1 Corinthians 12. I said 20. First Corinthians 12:28. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healing, then what's that word? Helps. Helps. Then administration of varieties of tongues. There's a spiritual gift called helps. A lot of times, listen, there are people, I understand, who will never, ever be preachers. Who will never, ever be teachers. They will never, ever be youth pastors. They may never, ever be a deacon. But God has given them a special ability, an ability to help. You know what that word in the Greek means? Just exactly what it says, to help. There are some people who are just gifted to be a help to other people. That may be your place in life. That may be your lot, right? But you understand this. You understand this. You find your gift. You use your gift. And none of us are too good to help someone else when they are using their gift. Amen? Come on with me. Come on. We can all help. Amen? Amen. All right. Your gift is vital. Use it. Minister that gift. And look where you minister it. Here's another thing. Right? Again, verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to who? One another. Now those people who think, well, you know, I don't have to go to church and be saved. I don't have to serve in a church. Oh, yes, you do. If you're going to be used of God, look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, where it says, you've received a gift, now minister it to one another. Where are you supposed to use your gift? You're supposed to use it in the church. In the church. Now, I'm not saying you can't minister outside the church. But the church is very simply a launching pad for the use of your gift. You can use it in the church. You can use it outside the church. Then finally, now we have gotten to the last point, right? Number 3, manage your gift. Last part of verse 10. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. A steward is a manager. Okay? In the Bible, it was a household manager. It was kind of that number one servant who had demonstrated himself as being faithful. And so the house owner would put him in charge of the daily administration of the home. God has given you this gift. And He's made you the manager of that gift. But you understand why God has given you the gift. Okay? God gave you this gift so that you could be a blessing to the brethren. I'm going to say that again. God has given you your gift so that you could be a blessing to the brethren. Verse 10. Each one has received a gift. Now minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold or the various grace of God. Your gift is given by God so that you can use it to bless the brethren. To bless other people. If you do not use your gift, you are depriving me of God's blessings. If you, I'm going to say it again because I want you to get it. If you do not use your gift, you are depriving me of God's blessings. Now, I'm just using me for an example. But if y'all don't use your gift, you're depriving them. And if y'all don't use your gift, you're depriving them. Don't deprive people of the blessings of God. A singer who does not sing deprives The whole church of blessings. There are people who sing and boy, they just, man, it just blesses your heart. They don't sing. There's no blessing. If you're a teacher who does not teach, you're depriving people of blessing. God has given you this gift so that you could use this gift to bless others, and now they're not getting that blessing. A helper who does not help deprives others of blessings. Listen. They deserve to be blessed by God. Amen? God has chosen you to bless them. Use your gift. These people over here deserve to be blessed by God. Right? God has given you the gift. Now bless them. I go through the whole church and just understand. Okay? God was kind to you. He blessed you. And the reason He blessed you is so that I could or they could experience God's goodness. And if you don't serve, you cheat people out of a blessing. That's not who we want to be. That's the point of this entire series. So that we can be all that we can be. And so that people can receive and see the glory of our great God. One last thing. I said that a while ago. That don't count what I said a while ago. One last thing. Verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as of the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. Here's really where you have to grab hold of your understanding. My goal, my heart's desire is that when I preach, you don't hear me, you hear God. Because I'm using my gift, my call, as a pastor teacher. And I don't want this to be a message that came from Doug. You didn't come here today to hear from Brother Doug. Amen? Amen. Come on. You came to hear from God. So when I preach, my prayer and my heart's desire is that it's not my message, it's from God. But I'm not unique. You see, the same thing is true when you sing. If you're a singer, you don't want people to hear the singer. You want them to hear the God that enabled the singer. The teacher. The teen pastor. The college minister. It all. You see, you come to grips with the idea of, hey, it's not about me. It's about the God that has given the gift. And that's simply what he's saying here. If anyone speaks, let him speak as of the oracles of God. You're God's representative. You're showing the goodness of God to other people. Same thing. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. You're God's minister, ministering with what God has given. The reason that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Why do you serve? Why do you want people to see and think what you're doing is coming from God? Because you don't want them to praise you. You want them to praise the God that is in you. That's the point of it all. You see? You want people to whom you administer or minister your gift
to glorify Jesus Christ. Today, and let me say this, today's the last day we'll receive the servant interest survey forms. But let me, if you filled out one of those, let me pat you on the back. We've had a better response this year than we've had in a very, very long time. Thank you very much for having a heart to serve. Now, you know what the next step is? The next step is getting with it. In the weeks that lie ahead, you're likely going to get a call. And we're going to say, hey, would you like to be a part of this? Be ready to say, here am I, Lord, send me. You start praying right now. Ask God to put you and open the door where He wants you to serve this year. And then when you get the call, I'm not going to say blindly say yes to whatever Brother Doug asked you to do. But I'm going to say be open to the doors which God will open. Okay? Can we do that? Can we do that? Come on. Come on. Can we do that? Amen. Ready to serve. Here am I, Lord, send me. Now, if you are here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I cannot stop until I tell you the most beautiful story that's ever been told. That story is a story of how Jesus was in heaven. And He gave up the splendor and the glory of heaven. Everything that heaven was. He was God sitting there as ruler in heaven. And He laid that glory aside to come to this earth and live as a man. He took on flesh. And He lived a perfect and sinless life. Why did He do that? I'm glad you asked. He did that because you've sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because you needed a Savior. You see, ever since the first sin that you ever committed, there's been a barrier between you and God. Jesus came to build a bridge, to remove the barrier, so that you could have a personal relationship with God the Father. How did He do that? He paid for your sin upon the cross of Calvary. He was crucified. He died in your place so that you could have eternal life. The Bible says, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you saved? Listen, you can be a church member and not be saved. You can be baptized and not be saved. You can either even be serving in some capacity and not be saved. It starts with salvation. Are you a child of the King? If not, we're going to have a verse of invitation in just a moment. I'm going to invite you to come. And I will show you in the Word of God how to be saved. Maybe you're here today and you've gotten out of the serving habit. You've kind of, you know, you wanted to take a break and you just kind of fell aside and you're not serving anymore. Time for rededication. All right? Time for you to say, here am I, Lord, send me. Lord, I want to get involved in Your work again. I want to be a faithful servant to the end. Whatever your spiritual need may be, I just ask you to do one thing. Listen to Jesus and respond in whatever way He leads you to respond. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. We thank You for Your Word. And we thank You for the reminder this morning that we are Your servants. And we're to be faithful stewards of the gifts that You've given us. Father, I pray that You'd open up doors for us, that we may be witnesses, that we may make disciples, that we may just serve You faithfully and be a blessing to the church brethren as well as to all who are around us. Father, help us to love You with all our heart, soul, and mind, and help us to love our neighbor as ourselves. We pray Your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Would you stand?